It's the same dream night after night. I hear this beating, this rhythm. I'm wandering like an unfulfilled lost soul through this misty haze. But I keep following the sound. It seems like I walk forever. In the distance, I see something beautiful, magnificent. It seems so far away, yet so near that I could reach out and touch it. As I approach closer, I can see millions of people, all ages, races, religions, philosophies. People from around the world and from every nation on terrestrial Earth. They're moving in mass towards something mystical, magical, magnetic. As I follow them, all of a sudden they begin to create a path for me to walk through. I can see something massive on the horizon. As I get closer, I see a banner unfurling in the gentle wind. It says, "Welcome to the revolution." The crowd begins cheering and celebrating. I'm so overwhelmed by the experience that I wake, still hearing the beating of the heart. And then my dream becomes crystal clear. I have found my holy grail. My thirst is quenched. My lifelong quest finally achieved. I have found AboveTopSecret.com. And my beating heart joins theirs. I have become a member. Welcome to our revolution. AboveTopSecret.com.
It's time to get way down low, below top secret.
Wait a minute.
Current events,
sports,
arts,
entertainment
topics,
automotive topics,
relationships. It's all here. Now, from BelowTopSecret.com, this is the BTS Mix.
And welcome to this edition of the BTS Mix Show. I'm Spencer Tracy.
And I'm Doc Hancock. A happy late Easter to those of you who are tuning in today. Of course, as we know, this past Sunday was Easter. For those of you who celebrate Easter, again, happy Easter. How was your Sunday?
I had a great Easter. By the way, did you know that this is the earliest Easter since 1913, Doc?
You know what? Ironically, I did not know that.
Yep. It's evidently on the lunar cycle and everything else, and Easter's falling like a whole month before Passover does. So kind of an interesting thing there. In West Texas, we always can tell when springtime comes. There's usually a freeze right before Easter, and the mesquite blooms out. And for those of you who don't know what mesquite is, it's a shrubbery, a brush that was brought up from Mexico by the cattle that were along the trail, and they would eat these beans on these bushes and then poop them out. And then they're just basically a nuisance. They're great to cook with, but they're just a nuisance plant. But they usually don't bloom until the very last freeze. And I'm happy to announce that we've got, you know, upper 70s here in West Texas. How are things there in New York?
Oh, been beautiful. About 50 degrees, 60 degrees during the day, and gets a little cooler at night, but overall very pleasant.
Ah, but you don't have any mesquite trees, though, do you?
No mesquite trees, and fortunately, no cows pooping either.
Well, you've got hobos peeing on the sidewalk, so that's okay.
Well, I was going to say we have plenty of other things pooping and peeing all over the city, so if we don't have to have the cows, I think we're in better shape.
There you go. Hey, so what are we going to be talking about today, Doc?
Well, to stay on the topic right now, there was a thread posted on BelowTopSecret.com, and this is in the faith, spirituality, and theology section. And very simple question, what does Easter mean to you? The member Wah, it's a W-H-A-A-A, writes in and he says, "Happy Easter, everyone. Is this the day of bunnies and eggs, the pagan celebration of return of the sun and warm weather and renewal? Easter egg hunts in the city parks with children dressed nice? Or of the risen Christ, Easter services in a church when the Pope pleads once again for peace as mankind seems bent on self-destruction?" And some people obviously have a very religious foundation with Easter. And then there are those who just want to come out for the ham and have some ham and celebrate and be with their friends and families.
Yeah, that and the chocolate Easter bunnies, too. Zyson5 wrote, "Hey there, thanks and a happy Easter to you all. What does Easter mean to me? Well, it means a bunch of snot-nosed kids getting some crappy candy, and they stay up way past their bedtime running off the sugar rush they got from the daily injections of candy. Yes, they are still running around, evidently his kids." Yeah. So he says, time to lay some smackdown or just take away the candy. I would say take away the candy and lots of milk. That seems to counteract the sugar a little bit.
Thing I never understood. I'm not a very religious guy myself, and I never understood the significance of a giant rabbit running around distributing candy to children. That was something that never logically connected with me.
And it really doesn't. This was more of a pagan holiday of the springtime, and it goes back to Ishtar, and hence the word Easter. And it was actually a pagan god, and the Roman Catholic Church incorporated this holiday like they did many other holidays, though it really doesn't have anything to do. It goes back to other scriptures that we won't go into now because there's a complete discussion of people who are a lot more knowledgeable than I am on the Below Top Secret website. But Passover is the typical day when this holiday was pulled off of. I mean, that's the day that really holds the significance. Easter was more of a Catholic tradition that incorporated a pagan tradition to get the pagans to celebrate the resurrection of Christ.
I did not know that. And again, you can learn about all of these things by going on to BelowTopSecret.com and digging into the forums. There's some really interesting information there. Although I got to tell you, Spencer, if I see a large rabbit running around my backyard, I am going to shoot to kill.
You're allowed. If there's a, you know, as long as it's not Dave Rabbit.
Exactly. Okay. If it's Dave Rabbit, he might get really mad if I shoot him.
Dave Rabbit gets a pass. All right. Well, our next topic is going to be cats. Now, I was talking with Doc just a little while ago, and he wanted to share a cat story with you. Now, is this like a cat, groovy cat kind of guy, or is it like a cat, meow, meow cat?
Well, you know what, Spencer? I wish I could say that Sunday I was hanging out with a few hip cats. Unfortunately, I was over with some friends, and my friends are fairly hip cats, but more importantly, they just they have a couple new additions to their house. They had adopted two of these cats, and they said, "Why don't you go up and see the cats?" And I said, "Well, what do you mean, go up and see the cats?" Well, they had to kind of lock them away from where everyone was eating. And when I went upstairs to take a look, I understood why. These were not cats. These were almost the size of tigers.
Oh, wow.
I was almost afraid for my life when I saw them. I went up, and one of the cats' name, now, mind you, this is Easter in Brooklyn, so one of the cat's names is Tony. The other cat's name is Giovanni. So there's basically this mafioso cat syndicate happening upstairs. And I go up, and Tony, and he's this very, very aggressive cat, had to have weighed at least 60 pounds. And when I say 60 pounds, that is no exaggeration. This thing was wider than it was long. And you just see this tiny little cat head with these tiny little cat ears and then this gigantic body. And all I could think of was Tony Soprano sitting there eating a lasagna. And that's exactly what this cat was doing. It was laying on the floor, and you could literally hear the cat breathing. It was this heavy breathing, huge, giant cat. And I watched the cat get fed, and it was literally like a tiger going after a gazelle. It
really
was the most unbelievable thing. I felt like I was watching the Discovery Channel.
It was like a furry Jabba the Hutt or something.
Oh, it was absolutely unbelievable. He was sitting there, Jabba couldn't walk you. Oh. It was absolutely unbelievable.
Well, if they're naming cats after Sopranos characters, Big Pussy would have been more appropriate.
That leads us really kind of conveniently into our next topic of the feline species, more specifically, the cougar. Spencer, tell me, what do you know about cougars? And tell me a little bit about them.
We've alluded to this, and Doc and I had talked off air about this a lot. It was posted originally by the Duckster in the relationships forum, "Do younger men really love older women?" And Duckster writes, "We women have been called cougars from time to time. I'm not exactly in the line of looking, mind you, but I've been somewhat curious as to what fascinates younger men and why they're so intrigued by an older woman. Perhaps you men could give us some insight on this."
And for those of you who are not specifically familiar as to what a cougar is simply defined as an older single woman who is out on the prowl. Generally, she's pretty attractive, and she is seeking a younger species, a younger specimen, to prey on, ultimately.
Well, it almost sounds predatory, but I don't know. I mean, in today's society, Doc, do you think it's a predatory? It's just, or is it just an assertiveness, a confidence that women are having as they get older?
Well, you know, that's a good point that this thread brings up. I mean, what is it that attracts these younger men to these older ladies? And, you know, from my personal perspective, I've never really dated an older woman, so to speak, but I can see that there is some sort of intrigue about a certain level of maturity, a certain level of experience. You're not going to deal with the immaturity of you know, someone in their late teens or early 20s. And you're going to get someone who has been around the block, literally, and may know a few tricks, you know, that the younger cats don't know. You know,
well, let's hope so.
You would hope so. A few years of experience gets you somewhere.
Jovi One writes, personally, I prefer women older than myself for several different reasons. The first being a maturity level. For the most part, they tend to be less inclined to play BS mind games. Second, they're far better in the sack. And I know that sounds a bit piggish, but it is true. And it's so much better than playing Simon Says. Third, they have no need for my money as they have plenty of their own.
Well, you know the old adage, the older the berry, the sweeter the juice. I think it's just that simple.
And I love to give them a squeeze, baby. And here's to you, Mrs. Robinson. And by the way, Cheeky Monkey did place a nice video from YouTube up on the website in that particular forum that has a photo montage of Anne Bancroft and Dustin Hoffman. I tell you what, Anne Bancroft is pretty hot.
Oh, Anne Bancroft is a total fox. If she were a cougar, I would be out in the Serengeti on an expedition looking for that cougar. You can guarantee it.
Back in the day, she was, you know, okay. I'm going to pause right there because this brings to mind all these adolescent fantasies. Now, when I was younger, and I'm a little bit older than Doc. I'm not going to tell you how much because I don't want to embarrass myself. But I remember having crushes on certain TV icon females, and one of which was Barbara Eden in the genie costume.
Oh, man. I may be younger than you, but from the reruns I've seen, talk about a smoking fox. Holy cow.
Oh, man. You don't know how many times I opened the bottle on... never mind. But seriously, I mean, she was gorgeous, but there were some other great looking women. Raquel Welch, obviously, and still looking fabulous. Sophia Loren and Barbara Eden, not too bad right now either. And even though they're in their 60s, maybe even 70s, a lot of these women really hold their beauty. And I think that younger men find that attractive. They find the maturity level of the women attractive. They find it sexy and alluring.
Well, you know, I'm sorry. I'm still trying to wipe the mental image of a young Spencer sitting at home rubbing his bottle, hoping that a genie pops out.
We should probably tell everybody we'll be right back in just a minute.
We're going to take a break, and we'll see you all in a bit here on the BTS Mix Show.
This is Agent X. You may know me as a secret informant for Dave and Johnny's ATS Mix Show. What a lot of you may not know is that I chose their show because AboveTopSecret.com is the only website out there that covers all the subjects that I love, whether it's a conspiracy about 9/11 or the secret United Nations meetings with extraterrestrials. I know I'm going to get the need-to-know updated information that I crave. I'd tell you more, but then I'd have to kill you. X out.
The white zone is for immediate loading and unloading of passengers only. No parking.
And welcome back, everybody, to the BTS Mix Show. I'm Doc Hancock.
And I'm Spencer Tracy. And you know, Doc, we intermingle a lot of our threads with the folks over at Above Top Secret. And one of the threads I noticed they had, one of the topics that they talked about was all the chemicals in our drinking water. I mean, we're seeing Xanax, we're seeing Viagra, we're seeing hormones in our water supply that the filtration system isn't able to take out.
Yeah, you know, they went around and they tested all of these water supplies and found these pharmaceuticals laying around in the water, just a whole variety of things. And it looks from a new report that this chemical spillage, this pharmaceutical spillage, has gone into yet another product, and that's in the most unlikely of places, beer.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I was reading a report the other day, and it says, and I'm reading from the report now, last month, National University of Lesotho scientists released the results of a recent analysis that revealed the presence of female hormones in beer. Now, I know, stereotypically speaking at least, that men are generally the largest consumers of beer. And the article goes on to say that men should take a concerned look at their beer consumption. The theory is that beer contains female hormones. Hops contain phytoestrogens, and that by drinking enough beer, men turn into women. To test the theory, men drank 8 pints of beer, each within a 1 hour period. It was then 100% of the test subjects began to act like women as they, one, argued over nothing, two, refused to apologize when obviously wrong, three, gained weight, four, talked excessively without making sense, five, became overly emotional, six, they couldn't drive, number seven, they failed to think rationally, eight, they had to sit down while urinating, and no further testing was considered necessary.
Okay, this is obviously not a serious threat, folks. In case you were thinking, this is, you know, boy, really? No, it's really not. But it is funny. It was posted by Cheeky Monkey in the Jokes, Puns, and Pranks forum.
And as I was reading this, I started to get really scared because, you know, Spencer, I drink a lot of beer. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, my shape has been changing a little lately, and I've been noticing a few other changes. And I'm thinking, oh, no. You know, maybe this is really happening. Maybe I'm turning into a woman from the amount of beer I drink.
I've got moobs. A lot of beer drinkers on here had to comment. They thought it was pretty funny, too. But they started out reading it thinking it was a very serious post. But that happens a lot with a lot of the great jokes and a lot of the great posts that we have at BelowTopSecret.com. We know that you're going to enjoy more. If you have some, don't forget to post them. We love reading your posts, and we could be reading it on the next BTS Mix Show.
Like 44 Soul Slayer here writes in about, you know, the beer with the female hormones in it. And it says it reminds him of the time that he casually mentioned, yeah, women aren't really the best of drivers. And apparently it caused his girlfriend to hit him across the head. So be careful, guys, about calling your women folk on these things, because it may result in some cerebral hemorrhaging. While I'm drinking a beer, this is something I like to watch, but I can't even imagine the headaches that these guys are getting as they're doing this. And I'm talking about the Ultimate Fighting Championship,
oh, yeah.
Spencer. Do you get into the UFC?
I do. I love watching these guys go at it because, Doc, it seems like boxing and a lot of these other sports, quote-unquote, seem fixed. I mean, we all know wrestling. Oh, I didn't say that, did I? Okay, sorry, wrestling fans. But boxing, some of these things you just go, I just want the outcome to be real. I want to see some real hitting. And in UFC, man, these guys are pounding and taking a pounding, and it's just amazing.
You've got these two brutal guys in the ring, and these guys are obviously in peak physical condition. You can tell that they're running up hills with buckets of lead and doing all sorts of things to make sure that they're in top shape. They get in the ring, and this is just it's like watching two animals fight. It's absolutely unbelievable.
And it's been banned in a lot of states. You know, they won't hold Ultimate Fighting Championships in some states. And it's almost like all the guys at a hockey game took their clothes off and started fighting. It's that real.
It's unbelievable. And you'll see them actually fighting in each other's pools of blood. You know, you'll see these bloodstains from the previous fights. And here these guys are making brand new ones. Chisler actually writes us in. And this is for UFC 83. And this is Sarah versus GSP. And this is a highly anticipated fight coming up. And Chisler writes in less than a month, we're finally going to see the rematch between Matt Serra and Georges St-Pierre at the Bell Center in Montreal, Canada. This is a match that needs very little hype and can market itself. As a longstanding MMA fan, I will be attending this event, and I am really looking forward to it. And we'll actually have to get in touch with Chisler and see if he can write a little something up just about the experience, what it's like live, how everything works out there in the ring and what it's like to be sitting, you know, ringside.
Well, yeah, in a hockey game, you know, at least you've got plexiglass, and this thing is just netty. You're going to get spit and blood and toenails all over you.
Oh, the sweetest part is when the one guy, you know, pins the other guy up against the cage and is just banging his head into the cage. Oh, man. I was watching it the other night, and this guy broke this other guy's arm. Just broke it. Stopped
sweet.
The fight, didn't it? Oh, yeah. Totally sweet. Drinking my beer, growing my moobs, sitting there watching UFC. I mean, is there anything better that you can get out of that?
Now, some people are going to say, well, it just makes our society gladiatorial. It's just not a good thing to see. I mean, it's better than fake.
There are people that say, oh, you know, this was when Rome was in its gladiatorial phase, and they had tigers fighting men. That was, you know, the beginning of their decline. And I say bring it on. I don't think it was the gladiators that brought Rome down. I think it was the excessive amounts of wine, the interbreeding, and the drug use. I think that's what brought Rome down. Here you have, you know, cousins mating with cousins, producing cousins that ultimately become emperors. And I think down the road, you know, save your Bush jokes. But yeah, I love it. I think UFC is a lot of fun. And if you haven't checked it out, by all means, Chisler puts up a clip of the video here. By all means, log on to belowtopsecret.com and check this out. This is really great stuff.
All right. While you're at it, you might want to also check out a great thread. This one was posted under Computer Help, and it's My Computer Just Spoke by Acetastic.
I believe it's Acid Tastic.
Okay. Well, he writes, my computer just spoke. It's not supposed to do that. It said, hello, in either a feminine or childlike voice, clear as a bell, right out of the speakers, running scans now. Now, this is a PC. Humor me. Are aliens trying to contact me via my PC, or does ATS have speaking ads? Well, actually, some of those ads do pop up on the site. We do try to keep those at a minimum, but evidently one snuck on and they rolled their mouse over it. And it says certain things like, hello, like kind of like a Mrs. Doubtfire thing, which is in itself rather creepy.
Acetastic actually puts a little edit onto his post, and he says, I did try talking back, but all that happened was my dog looked at me disapprovingly and went back to sleep. So I can imagine Acetastic sitting there at his computer at 12 o'clock midnight going, oh, what's going on? Why is my computer talking to me? And looking longingly into the screen for answers.
Indie Rock Alien wrote, I think your screen name answers all of your questions for you. Your experience may be related to it somehow. And, of course, we're talking about Acetastic.
Yeah, there might be something going on there. You know, back in college, I can honestly say that my computer probably talked to me a few times as well.
You know, Doc, it's funny you should say that because my computer actually talks to me. Here, listen.
Blah, blah, blah. Not this again. Wait a minute. Who is that?
Well, that's my partner, Doc Hancock.
Doc Hancock? Doc, how about we go for a drink somewhere? Just the two of us. I'll dump Stuart.
It's Spencer.
So we can be alone. He's always fingering my keyboard. I'm beginning to think I'm the only one with a hard drive.
But Doc already has a Mac.
We'll leave it at that.
There you go. We'll be right back with more of the BTS Mix Show.
I'm Doc Hancock.
And I'm Spencer Tracy.
Hello, I'm Justin Case from the Above Politics Show. When Martin and I aren't busy analyzing the news, we like to listen to our sister shows on the Above Network LLC. Over at BelowTopSecret.com, you'll find the totally cool and sinfully delicious BTS Mix. Hosted by my good friends Spencer Tracy and Doc Hancock. These guys will rock your world with everything you could ever want to know about television, sports, entertainment, and every form of pop culture known to man. BTS Mix features member posts and on-air conversations with people just like you. Spencer and Doc also do celebrity interviews, and they ask the hard questions. Jeez, I hate it when Britney cries. This is a show that I just know you're gonna love. When I want to live dangerously without spilling my beer, I go to AboveTopSecret.com so that I can groove with Dave Rabbit and Johnny Anonymous as they present the ATS Mix. These guys will do almost anything to get attention, even if that means interviewing the country's top conspiracy theorists or, well, they might actually be doing stuff that I can't say here without getting bleeped. So come join us online and have a ball. Deny ignorance with the ATS Mix, hosted by Dave Rabbit and Johnny Anonymous. Deny boredom with the BTS Mix, hosted by Spencer Tracy and Doc Hancock. or deny apathy by tuning in to the Above Politics Show, hosted by Martin Bain and me, Justin Case. Be part of the revolution, Above Network LLC.
Welcome back to the BTS Mix Show. I'm Spencer Tracy.
And I'm Doc Hancock. And I got to tell you, Spencer, I am a huge fan of pranks. I think that the more creative the prank, I really think that that is a gauge of one's creativity and really gives a mind to their sense of humor and to their overall character. There is a great post up on the Below Top Secret website, and it's about a cellophane prank. And this is from Wally Conley. And Wally writes in that this is something fun to do for those on ATS with roommates. And I'm sure this can work in any other environment as well. You take some cellophane, enough to stretch from top to bottom across a doorway, and make sure there are no lights reflecting off of the cellophane. And now I've actually done this myself, and the lights are very, very important. Then he says to set up a video camera to record what happens when you call the roommate out to where you are. The cellophane will stop him dead in his tracks, and he or she will let out a few expletives as they start to take the cellophane down. It will turn into laughter as they hear how hard you yourself are laughing. And they will laugh even louder later when you show them their reaction and when they had walked into the cellophane.
I love it. And I love the idea of having a camera posted, because that will avoid future lawsuits and things like that. And at least, you know, you can have some fun with it on YouTube. That's what Roland Deschain found. He evidently found, and this is posted just a little bit lower on this particular thread. And he posted, Wally, hey, check this out, and posted a YouTube video. And all I can say is roommates at college can give you the best ideas for pranks, because you either love them or you hate them. And evidently this one guy had a roommate. And I'm not going to tell you about the whole video, but I will tell you that it is a must-see. With a warning, it does contain expletives that have not been edited out. If you've ever had a bad roommate, you can relate to this. Evidently, this one guy's roommate kept slamming the door every time he comes in, every time he goes out, slams the door. So this other guy is like trying to sleep or trying to do something else, and boom, here comes this door slamming, and it was distracting him. So how does he solve it? Well, he butters the floor. Butters the floor. Now, it was really cool the first time it happened. It was even cooler when the guy fell for it a second time. By the third time, you were going to be crying, laughing so hard at this dummy. But, you know, he's got it coming. But still, funny stuff. So, thumbs up to Roland Deschain, who put this video up on this particular thread, because it's definitely a must watch. But warning, there is language in the video.
Michelle129 writes in, my older brothers once did the cellophane over the toilet trick on me. Now, have you heard of this one, Spencer, the cellophane over the toilet trick?
Yes.
This is a great one. They lifted the seat, wrapped the cellophane really tightly over the bowl, and then they put the seat back down. Wandered in, started to do my business, and I couldn't figure it out why I was getting wet. Needless to say, had a big mess to clean up afterwards. That one's great. It's so simple. It's one of the oldest tricks in the book, and no one ever sees it coming. It's great.
That is a classic. Another one that I remember that we did to a friend of mine for his birthday. He liked to have a little drink or two at lunch and then come back to work. So we decided, hey, what would be really cool? Oh, look, we have all these packing peanuts. What can we do with that? Peanuts. Peanuts. There you go. Okay, keep listening. Yeah, I just wanted to clarify that in case somebody went, what did he say? So we get boxes and boxes. He had a little Ford Ranger pickup truck, and he left the window cracked just a little bit. So we were able to get in there and jimmy it, and then rolled the window down a little bit more and loaded the entire cab of the pickup truck with styrofoam peanuts.
I can only imagine the expression on his face when he went out to get in his car and had to wade through a sea of packing peanuts.
It makes it very tough to drive. I mean, seriously, that stuff gets everywhere, and there's probably this happened 10 or 15 years ago, so there's probably still packing peanuts stuffed somewhere in the seats or behind the cab or whatever, but that's a quick and easy practical joke. Nobody gets hurt unless, of course, they catch you.
And, of course, they're the great old pranks of gluing things to the table. I always get a big kick of that.
Oh, yeah.
The stapler, tape dispenser, anything like that. You can just glue it right down, and you just watch people have a really good time with that.
They had a restaurant at one of the airports I was traveling through that had a quarter, and it was done in front of a restaurant right next to the bar, but they'd taken super glue and glued the quarter to the floor right there in front of the restaurant, but probably about 6 feet from the railing. And you would see these people, and that was the entertainment. That was the cheap entertainment. People would walk by, try to pick up the quarter, can't get it, and then keep walking on. But you would be surprised how many people stop, try to get the quarter, trip other people with their luggage or whatever. It's a cheap ha-ha, and it doesn't hurt anybody.
And if nothing else, it just adds a little humility to the human race. I mean, for crying out loud, you know, we're supposed to be the most evolved and advanced species on the planet, yet we need red cordons to stand in line at the movie theater. You know?
I gotta ask you this. What was the worst practical joke anybody pulled on you and got away with?
The worst one, I've actually been pretty fortunate in my life, and I've usually been the one giving the prank. But in one instance, I was flying somewhere. I forget where I was flying. It was somewhere domestically. It wasn't overseas or anything. And this was before 9/11, so security wasn't quite as tight as it was. But still, I had my backpack on me, and I always kept my wallet when I was traveling in my backpack, you know, because you just don't want to sit on it in a plane the whole time and all that stuff. So I had my wallet in kind of the bigger pouch on my backpack, and going through security, they asked to see my driver's license along with the ticket. So I unzipped the bag, and my roommate had completely stuffed the entire pocket with sugar packets. Hundreds and hundreds of sugar packets. So I go to unzip the bag, and literally they just pour everywhere. And the looks on people's faces behind me in the line were like, what is this guy's problem? And all I could do is just kind of look up to say, I love sugar a lot. I have to carry it around with me everywhere I go. I had no other option.
I'm a little hypoglycemic. I just want to be careful.
Well, no, you're not getting off the hook here either, Spencer. What's the worst I've ever had pulled on you?
Okay, I got to tell you. I was in high school. And we were on a band trip. So we're in Scottsdale, Arizona, and we're all swimming and playing in the pool and whatever. And somebody jumps in and hits me in the head with their knee. I mean, just basically knocks me out. They have to pull me out of the pool. So I'm rooming with a bunch of other guys, probably about four or five other guys, you know, and the pranks are going back and forth between the rooms. And about we all go to sleep about midnight or so because we've got the lights out. Wake up at 3 a.m. to a wet spot in my lap, and I'm thinking, what the? And I'm thinking I peed on myself because I got hit in the head, and the guy that was right next to me was like, what? Oh man, that's gross. Oh, that's awful. You peed on yourself. What are you, some kind of baby? So come to find out what they did, I don't know whether they just poured warm water in my lap or if somebody actually peed in a cup and poured it on me, but it was like 8 years later before I found out that I didn't pee on myself. Anyway.
They might have done the old prank where, you know, and I don't even know if this works, but I've heard that if you take a glass of warm water and dip someone's hand in it while mm-hmm. they're sleeping, that they'll pee themselves.
Yeah, it works.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, I've never had that happen to me because I'm pretty cautious now. I'm not the trusting soul I used to be, but yeah, it will work. I've known people who have played it, and I've known people who've had it played on them, and it does work.
Well, April 1st is coming up. Good to know. Good to know.
Hey, I want to also share one with you because we were talking about the videos a little bit more, and over to an alien roommate prank. And this is under General Chit Chat in the Roommate Alien Prank Goes Bad Must Watch. Now, this doesn't have a lot of posts on it. This is more of a viewing one, and it was posted by Odyssey. Odyssey, I got to tell you, I laughed my butt off when I found this. Evidently, Odyssey found this on YouTube, and it's called Roommate Alien Prank Goes Bad. It's two guys who are pranking Chad, who is their roommate, who hates aliens. I'm going to tell you, it's pretty funny, and then it gets really creepy at the end. And it's a definite must watch. I just turned Doc onto this today. Doc, what did you think?
I literally fell on the floor laughing. You've got these guys, and they're obviously pretty close roommates. And this Chad guy really hates aliens, and his roommates just exploit it to the extent of no return. And then it gets a little creepy all of a sudden. It's a must see. It's an excellent video.
Okay, this one again is under General Chit Chat. Roommate alien prank goes bad. Thanks to Odyssey. Thumbs up to you, buddy, for that video. Very, very funny. Love that one.
And still moving along on the movie topic, we're going to start a new thread here on BelowTopSecret.com, and it's the BTS Mix movie review.
Yay!
Yay! I've started off this week, and I went out to the video store, and I got No Country for Old Men. So you can find my review, and it is in the movie section on BelowTopSecret.com. And the title of the thread is the BTS Mix Movie Review, No Country for Old Men. So I'm going to read part of my review here. I'd like for anybody tuning in to chime in and tell me what they thought of the movie as well. This week I saw No Country for Old Men. The movie was based off of the novel by Cormac McCarthy and was written for the screen and directed by the Coen brothers. Now, I love the Coen brothers. They did The Big Lebowski, which is probably my favorite movie of all time. To say that this is a thinking movie is an understatement. Sure, on the surface, the movie is a typical cat-and-mouse game framed in a Western style of movie making, but beneath this surface, there's a lot more than meets the eye. The movie starts off with this great monologue from Tommy Lee Jones, who plays the character of Ed Tom Bell. You can certainly go to the website, and I posted the entire opening monologue. And the opening monologue really sets up the rest of the movie, and the movie ultimately becomes kind of a good versus evil kind of movie, and this new evil is none other than our good friend, Anton Chigurh, who's played by the ever-creepy Javier Bardem. And apparently, when the movie premiered, people would not go up to Javier Bardem because they thought he was so creepy. They would not go up and say, hey, you know, nice job on the movie, really liked it, really liked your performance. They wouldn't even go near him.
You know, that's got to be the sign of a great actor, when you were so believable or so creeped out they won't even get near you.
Oh, and this guy is creepy. He really does an excellent job in the movie. When we first meet him, he's being arrested. Once he's brought into the sheriff's office, we immediately understand the level of evil that Chigurh is capable of, because he actually strangles the deputy to death with the handcuffs that he's wearing. The Coen brothers capitalize on this moment to illustrate a great deal about Chigurh, because once the deputy is dead, the floor of the office is riddled with streak marks, the shoes, and the deputy as he struggles with his attacker. And literally, by the time that the deputy dies, it looks like a classical painting. I mean, there are streaks and there are little spurts of blood, and it looks almost like a Jackson Pollock. And it almost speaks to the tune of getting into this guy's mind and understanding what an art it is for him to kill, and it really tells you a lot about his character. Then at the same time, somewhere out in the vast desert, Llewellyn Moss, who is played by Josh Brolin, comes across an abysmal scene of a drug deal gone horribly wrong. Inspecting the site, Moss finds a satchel with money. Moss also comes across one of the drug dealers who has been wounded. The man asks Moss for water, but Moss unfortunately leaves him to die. Upon returning home with his newfound money, he goes back with a gallon of water against his better judgment to do it. This starts the entire movie off and sets the two main characters kind of on their paths. The movie ultimately explores the brutal reality of owning up to our past and taking on our future. It redefines pure evil and reminds us that evil is always evolving to try and stay one step ahead of the do-gooders. This is a great movie. I highly recommend it. On the BTS Mix rating system, I give it a 9.8 out of 10.
Log on to BelowTopSecret.com and check out Doc's movie review of No Country for Old Men, and maybe put your comments down. We'd like to hear what you have to say. Now, that leads us into the movie that I did see this weekend, Doc.
And what did you see, Spencer?
Horton Hears a Who.
Yeah. You saw that movie. Yes, you do. Horton Hears a Who. Sorry, that's a really bad attempt at Dr. Seuss. I apologize.
That's all right. It was a good movie, though. I enjoyed it. I saw a lot of adults and young high schoolers enjoying it. It's good, clean, innocent fun. And that leads us into the BTS screen test, your chance to get 500 points. And I want to say a big congratulations to last week's winner, Silent Shadow, who picked up 500 points for guessing the screen test. It was Robin Hood, Men in Tights. All right, so if you've ever seen a movie where the director slips in what's called an Easter egg, it's something either from a previous movie or something that has to do with the director, or it's an inside joke, and Horton Hears a Who has a few of these, one of which is there's a guy with a plate of green eggs and ham. So if you're the first person to tell me what scene the character holding a plate of green eggs and ham, and you're the first person to do so, you get 500 BTS points for telling us where the Easter egg is.
That sounds pretty good. Just log on, check it out, make a guess, and you get 500 points.
I had to make it harder because Johnny gave my screen test away last time.
Oh, yeah. He totally did.
I was like, come on, man.
Yeah.
I grab and shake you, Johnny. Bless your heart. And that just about does it for this edition of the BTS Mix Show. We hope that you have a great week. I'm Spencer Tracy.
I'm Doc Hancock.
You've been listening to the BTS Mix. If you have a comment, suggestion, an opposing view, or would like to participate in a future show of BTS Mix, please visit the website belowtopsecret.com. The views expressed on BTS Mix do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of the Above Network LLC or any of its affiliates. Thanks for listening, and continue to deny boredom by logging on to belowtopsecret.com.
And that just about wraps it up for this edition of the BTS Mix Show number 3. I've had a great time. I don't know about you, Spencer. And let's try that again. Wow.
I have had a good time. Come on. Yeah. I've had coffee this whole time.
Good time. La, 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 la.
More wine.
Yes, more booze. In 3, 2, 1.